is Allie and Quinn on the Willow Tree Theater on air, and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Reform Radio. Today we are going to be doing a reading of a very short little radio play, about 30 minutes, a very, very silly, cheesy, kind of dumb, stupid radio play from 1952 called The Tenth Planet. It was originally, if I can pull it up, I will tell you more information about it, but it will take me 2 seconds to pull it up. It was originally presented by Hollywood Star Playhouse, which was a radio show and drama anthology series that was broadcast between 1950 and 1953. So this one is originally aired on September 7th, 1952. We're probably going to get started with that in about 15 minutes, I want to say. 15, 20 minutes.
Yes, our actors are coming.
We also are going to be having live sound today, done by Isaac.
The one and only.
Etch Zonk Music on Instagram. Mm-hmm.
Doing some cool stuff.
Follow. It's going to be really awesome. He's got a lot of followers. He does Imogen Heap vibe motion capture sound things.
Touch designer things. DJing without touching the board, using your hands.
Sick. Very amazing. Cool, so cool. And today we're going to be blessed by him on the fly, making up some sounds for this radio play.
Stay tuned. Another cool fact about the Hollywood Star Playhouse was that they would bring in current Hollywood stars of the time to read in. So that was very exciting for people
and
listening.
Like
Marilyn Monroe.
One might say that Isaac is one of the big stars of our circle. He has a lot of Instagram followers.
He certainly does.
And so, in a way,
Saudi too.
Saudi's another
in
star in our art scene, as in our friend group. So,
yes, star-studded show.
Absolutely star-studded show. And until that happens. You know what, before we get started, I'm going to read a PSA now before I forget. The original recording of this contained a lot of ads, and they were all PSAs for bread.
Mm-hmm.
To buy bread in the 1950s, which was important, but I think we're going to do, let's see if I can find a food related, actually, no, we're going to stick to a classic. This one, fatherhood involvement, live announcer copy, hearts drawn on the page that I drew a few years ago. Hey everyone, let's all stop what we're doing right now and take a moment. Felt good, huh? Of course, they don't all need to be quiet moments to be special. They can be loud moments, goofy moments, or teaching moments. Doesn't really matter, because every time dads take a moment like that to spend time with their kids, it's pretty momentous. So take a moment to make a moment today. Banger line, my favorite line in a PSA. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council here at WMFO. The last song that played was At Himmel by Ebb, and this is Moon Halo by Mary Jane Dunphy. We're going to keep going with the music and for the next, again, 10-15 minutes, and then we'll get started on the radio play.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Don't turn off your radio.
Please don't leave. Don't leave. Please, please. We're going to be laughing a lot when it's happening, so maybe you'll laugh too.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Anyways, goodbye for now.
Thank you. the hell is all this about? I'm flying on my Roman commander, cutting air cuts my face, and whose skin is this, and whose neighborhood? Where's my mom? Where are my sisters? Where's my pa? Where's my baby? That night when we snuck out and lay by the creek, so sweet, for hours, for hours. Poison ivy, I got that. Got it back, and it feels, it feels so good to burn it. In scalding water, with reckless cycling.
Get started soon. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I don't know why. Oh, there you go. Okay, I can hear myself now. I said to turn my volume up. Because, oh, why is there, okay, wait. There's a lot of background noise, but I can hear myself.
I can hear you.
Yeah.
Can I turn that off for a second?
Yeah, you can turn the AC off for a second until the show is over. There is the, wow, much, much better. We're talking as loud as we can get.
Yeah, okay, sweet.
You ready? Again, this is the 10th hour. A radio play originally aired in 1952. And we got music by Isaac. And yeah, I guess we'll get started. No? It's not, you can't hear anything?
I think it might be on, is Isaac's line in? Because it's the other aux.
Which one? Isaac's line is on right now.
You can hear it?
No. Hmm. Okay, give us a second. We're going to put normal music back on. Wait.
Yeah, without like reset somehow.
Are you good? Oh.
There we go.
Oh my God. With music by Isaac. All right. Let's go.
It's only a matter of time. They know our weakness, and they know our strength. And they will conquer and rule the earth. It only is a matter of time. The time it takes to reach Earth from the 10th planet. My name is Walker. My home is in California, the North American continent, planet Earth. I'm writing this in a room deep inside a spaceship, approximately 4.5 million miles from Earth. On Earth, I was a teacher of mathematics. Among the others seated about me are a doctor, an accountant, a judge, an actor, a machinist, farmer. The list is a long one. They're men of various nationalities who one by one disappeared off the face of the Earth. They're men who are being taken to the 10th planet. My life, for the most part, has been average, unexciting. On Earth, I attended church, discussed politics, gave my son boxing lessons, and on Saturday nights, my wife and I usually had a few friends in for bridge. These things are important. Not only that you may know more about me, but that I may carefully report, and you may evaluate everything that has happened since the afternoon I walked into my home and found a visitor awaiting me. A visitor from the Bureau in Washington. Hi, darling. Oh!
Todd, this is Mr. Webster. He's with the Bureau.
How do you do, Mr. Walker?
He's a real G-man, Pop. A real honest to goodness.
Bobby!
Yes, Bobby. Now, suppose you and Mummy...
Yes, I'll keep him occupied, dear.
Thanks.
Come on, Bobby. We'll drive down to the market.
Sit down, Mr. Webster.
Thank you. Do you have your credentials? Just what do you want to see me about?
Well, how long has it been since you've seen your brother, Mr. Walker?
Oh, Perry? I haven't seen him since he went to work at the Atomic Center in New Mexico.
You talked to him recently? On the phone, I mean?
No. Why do you...
Letters from him?
Why, he usually writes about once a week, but I haven't had a letter now, and I suppose it's been close to 3 weeks.
Well, what did he write then?
Oh, just the usual things. Working hard, feeling fine. Usual things a brother writes.
No mention of his work?
No, he's never written about its work. It's highly secret, I believe.
Yeah. Mr. Walker, you and your brother have always been very close, haven't you?
Yes, ever since our father died.
And he hasn't contacted you in any way during the past 2 weeks.
That's right.
I guess that checks you out, Mr. Walker. Sorry to have bothered you.
Mr. Webster.
Yes?
What's happened to Harry?
I'm sorry, Mr. Walker. My orders were to contact you, find out when you heard from him last, and that's all I know.
He's dead.
Dead? Why do you say that?
If he weren't, I would have heard from him.
Well, you can't be sure of that. Now, he may have been transferred. His work is classified. There could be any number of reasons.
No. When Harry took the job, we prepared for that. We have a code.
A code?
We agreed that if he should suddenly be sent somewhere unexpected, or if he weren't free to let me know where he is, or what he's doing, he'd send me a wire saying, "Happy birthday, Pappy."
Uh-huh. Pappy.
Yeah, well, he's called me that since Dad died.
I see. Well, let's not look on the dark side, Mr. Walker. You may hear from him any day.
Can you give me any other information about him?
I'm sorry, I'm just doing a job.
So was he. Webster was barely out of the house when I was on the phone. After an hour and 20 minutes or so of red tape, I reached the security officer at the Atomic Center in New Mexico.
Security. Major Colin speaking.
Major, I'm the brother of Harry Walker.
Are you calling from Lurok, Mr. Walker?
I'm calling from my home in California. What difference does that make?
Well, if you give me your number, I'll call you back.
I realize the necessity for caution, but I don't understand why you people won't tell me what's happened to Harry.
I'm sorry, Mr. Walker. I'll have to call you back.
Don't bother, Major. I'll be over there by tomorrow night. The heat was rising off the asphalt-covered street as I drove through the small desert town of Lurok. I was hot, dirty, and tired after driving all night. There weren't any signs to show me the way to the Atomic Center, so I stopped for coffee and got all the directions I needed. 45 minutes later, I was in a small frame building, a kind of sentry post, waiting for Major Collins.
Sorry to keep you waiting, Mr. Walker.
You Collins?
Yes. I had to stop inside to pick up your brother's personal file. Before you say anything else, I have a few questions I'd like to ask you.
You have questions to ask me?
Please, Mr. Walker, sit down and let me ask you.
What? What's that?
Just a routine test. Now then, according to this file... Harry Walker's nearest living relative is his brother, Todd Walker. What is your wife's maiden name, Mr. Walker?
Miller. Jean Miller.
The birth date of your son?
April 12th, 1941.
Your grandfather's birthplace?
Grant? England, I believe. Ipswich? Not too sure. Now, look here, Major.
Just a few more, Mr. Walker. What was the name of the family that lived next door to you in 1933?
33? We lived in Adamsville then. Well, there was a girl. Her father was a minister. Don't remember their name, though.
What happened to a dog you owned called Spot?
Spot was killed. Fell down a flight of cement stairs. I was only 10 years old when that happened. Now, Major Collins...
Here's your pass. Now, if you'll come with me, Mr. Walker, I'll tell you everything we know about the disappearance of your brother.
Before I had a chance to say anything else, before I could think of anything else to say... We were beyond the two sentry posts, through the great steel gate, and inside the restricted area of the Atomic Center.
You aren't radioactive, are you, Mr. Walker?
What?
We're passing through a safety zone. If either of us is contaminated by radioactive materials, pitch blends, uranium, an alarm bell will sound.
Oh.
How's your son doing in school this year?
Bobby? Fine.
I read the last two letters you wrote to your brother. Sounds like you got quite a boy on your hands.
Yeah, he is.
Playing right field on a school baseball team, hmm?
First base.
Oh, yes.
Still, checking, Major?
Nobody ever died being too careful. Yeah. This was your brother's room.
Why is it padlocked?
I didn't want any of his things disturbed. It is exactly as you left it.
When are you going to tell me what happened to him, Major?
Cigarette?
Oh, thank you.
3 weeks ago today, at about 8 in the morning, your brother was seen to leave this room and enter the area outside. He appeared to be on his way to a mess hall for supper. He never arrived there.
Where'd he go?
We don't know.
What?
All we know is that about 50 yards from this building, he was accosted by a man wearing a heavy trench coat.
Trench coat? In this heat?
He stopped and talked to this man. That's the last time he was seen.
Who was the man in the trench coat?
We haven't been able to identify him. Culver, one of your brother's friends here, saw them together. He heard the man call your brother by name, and he heard your brother mention the word target several times.
Target? This is just the way Harry left the room, huh?
Yes. Be careful about touching things, please.
Well, here's his suits and shirts, billfold, wristwatch. All of his things are here.
Everything. Even his passport identification papers. Everything but the clothes on his back.
What's this piece of rock here on the desk? Paperweight?
I suppose so.
It's heavier than it looks. Probably something he was working with.
I can arrange for you to take his personal things in a day or two, Mr. Walker.
Thanks. Well, you certainly can't suspect him of deserting.
We never did. To do that, he'd have had to walk out of this camp. He didn't walk out.
Then?
There's only one possible way he could have gotten out of here.
How's that?
Up. Straight up.
We left the room soon after that and started down the stairs. Neither of us said very much as we walked slowly back to the little building at the front gate.
Are you going to stay in Luroc, Mr. Walker? Or do you plan to return to California?
I don't know yet.
When you know, I'd appreciate if you'd call me.
Yeah. Yes, I will. What is that?
Safety zone alarm. One of us is contaminated.
What?
One of us has radioactive dust on his clothes. Over here, please, quickly. All right, Mr. Walker. I'll step out into the zone first. Looks like you're right. Will you step out, please? Come on.
Radioactive? Are you sure?
Certainly.
But how? I haven't touched anything. Except that paperweight.
I know, Mr. Walker.
I barely touched it.
You'd better spend the night here, Mr. Walker. By the time the boys in the decontamination room get through with you, it'll be quite late.
Thanks. Incidentally, I've made up my mind.
Yes?
I'm gonna stay in Luroc. I'm gonna find out what happened to Harry. Next morning, I drove back to town and called on a real estate agent. He knew of an adobe house for rent just off the highway, about 5 miles from the Atomic Center, and I took it, sight unseen. The house was small, but comfortable, and most important, it had a telephone. That evening, I called Jean.
Todd! Oh, it's good to hear your voice. When are you coming home?
I thought I'd stay here for a while, Jean. Maybe you and Bobby could fly over?
Oh, of course. When?
Tomorrow.
Wonderful, darling. Did you find anything out about Harry?
I'll tell you when you...
Todd?
When you get here.
What's the house like there? Todd?
Something's happening here, Jean. Something I don't understand.
What?
Everything's turning green. The house, the room, everything.
Todd, what is it?
There's something out there in the desert. A green light.
Todd, are you...
Jean, listen to me. Hello? Hello? Phone's dead. That noise. That humming, what is it? Yes? What do you want?
Good evening, Mr. Walker. May I come in? Thank you. Is it always so cold in here?
Cold? It's hot. Over 90.
Precisely.
You're cold? Even with that coat on?
I have brought you a message, Mr. Walker. I was told to say, happy birthday, Poppy.
Oh, Harry's alive.
Of course he is.
And you? Who are you?
Oh, forgive me. My name is Torgood. I come from the 10th planet.
My heart was pounding like a drum. I didn't want to believe what I'd heard. Talk of flying saucers, spaceships, interplanetary travel. This wasn't for me. I was a professor of mathematics, a logical man. And yet there I was, in a rented adobe house in the middle of the desert, talking to a man who had calmly announced in a manner that made me believe him that he came from an unknown planet, somewhere in the Earth's solar system. A 10th planet?
In talking to Earth's men, I found that to be the most simple designation.
But there are only 9 planets in our solar system.
You are mistaken.
But the scientists...
are mistaken.
I see. You say you've seen my brother recently.
Yes.
Where is he?
With us.
He's all right? Unharmed?
In perfect physical condition and very happy. In fact, only one thing could make him happier.
Yes?
Sit down, Mr. Walker. My time is limited and I have much to say.
For the next 2 hours, I listened to the most fantastic narrative I've ever heard in my life. It defied logic, reason, and at the same time seemed to explain the flying saucers, the green fireballs, and the disappearances of so many men during the past few years.
Industrialists, artists, jurists, writers, scientists are but a few.
But why? Why are you doing this?
So that someday these men will be able to rebuild what is left of Earth.
Rebuild Earth?
You see, your experiments into atomic research, juvenile as they are dangerous. Your children playing with matches that could ignite the universe. We cannot let that happen. Therefore, the time is near for us to conquer Earth. You have seen our repas.
Repas? I've never heard.
Ah, I believe you call them flying saucers. Most amazing. These are scattering. Soon we shall land. In force.
When?
Before I may answer that, Mr. Walker, I must know whether or not you intend to join us.
Join? Oh, I see.
I realize that you will want time to consider this proposal.
Yes, I guess I will.
I am authorized to give you 3 days Earth time. In 72 of your hours exactly, I shall return.
Suppose my answer is no?
Then you shall stay here on Earth.
But I could warn them. Warn all the nations on Earth. Make them stop production of atomic weapons.
Warn them. Do you think that they would really believe you, Mr. Walker?
Sorry, I got lost. All right, Todd. Do you want to tell me now about Harry?
Harry's safe. He's fine.
Wow, that's a relief. You hadn't mentioned him all day, so I thought, well, Todd, where is he?
On the 10th planet.
Oh, darling, stop joking. I'm serious.
So am I. Deadly serious, Jean. Listen to me. Listen. And remember that I've never been more serious about anything in my life.
Good evening, Mr. Walker.
Oh, Major Collins. Come in, sir.
Sorry to disturb you at this time of night, Mr. Walker, but we've been very busy at the research center, and I didn't want you to think I'd forgotten you.
Well, it's kind of you to take such an interest, Major, but Well, to be honest, I don't think we'll be around much longer.
Oh? Have you had some word from your brother Harry?
No. No, not exactly. But, well, under the circumstances, there didn't seem to be much point in staying here. I'm sure you people will do everything you can to find him.
Mr. Walker, are you sure you haven't heard from your brother?
I have neither seen nor talked to my brother.
I asked if you'd heard from him.
Yes, I have heard from him.
Mr. Walker, as a citizen, it's your duty to turn any information you may have over to me.
You wouldn't believe my information, Major.
Well, I suppose you let me be the judge of that.
All right. I've received a message from Harry.
Well, where is he?
On the 10th planet.
On the what?
He's on the 10th planet.
Mr. Walker, this is no time.
I'm perfectly serious, Major. I told you wouldn't believe me.
I see. And that's all you have to tell me?
One thing more. The inhabitants of that planet are gonna conquer this Earth.
With rocket ships and ray guns, I presume. Mr. Walker, I'll ask you once more. Where is your brother?
I've told you.
You leave me no choice, Mr. Walker. I shall have to report the fact that you... Well, that you are withholding vital information. Good night.
Shortly after 10, we heard it. And again, the desert and the room, everything, turned that strange metallic green.
It's fantastic, Todd. Todd, I'm scared.
No, baby, it's all right. This is just how it was the other night.
How long before he'll come to the house?
Any minute now.
I don't like this.
Funny. You should have been here by now.
Maybe something's happened. Todd, maybe they're gonna kill us.
No. Don't talk like that. I'll take a look out here.
Todd, don't leave me.
Here, stay with Bobby. I'll be right back.
Todd?
Good evening, Mr. Walker.
Torgut. We've been waiting inside for you.
Yes, I know. Have you reached your decision, Mr. Walker?
Yes, we have. We're gonna go with you.
We?
My wife and son. We're all packed.
I'm afraid that you have misunderstood my original proposition, Mr. Walker.
What?
My offer did not include your wife and son.
It took me only a second to realize what this meant. And then I turned and ran as fast as I could. Suddenly, in that moment, I was a man. A man of Earth, with a wife and child, and I had no intention of leaving them. Jean.
Yes, dear?
Get your things. Hurry. We're getting out of here.
Todd, what is it?
I'll tell you later. Now get the car started and I'll get Bobby.
But what about...
Please, Jean.
What is it, Pop?
We're going home, son. Back to California. Come on, here we go.
I don't think I'd like it on another planet. I'd like it right here on this planet. Another planet and I get scared. I want to stay.
I'll drive, Jean.
Where are we going?
I'm going to try to make the Atomic Center. I look back through the rearview mirror and breathe easier. The night was moonlit. Pure gold. Pure golden moonlight. It wasn't green anymore. When we reached the highway, I was sure we'd make it.
Darling, what is it?
I don't know. Gas is all right. Here, take my jacket. I'm gonna go look under the hood. Ignition's okay. It's not flooded. Jean, I don't see a thing wrong.
What shall we do?
There's a gas station about half a mile down the road. You stay here with Bobby.
Todd!
I won't be gone over 20 minutes. What is this? Oh, no. Green. Everything's turning green. The Raypa! They're coming after me. I've got to get away.
Mr. Walker, why exert yourself?
What? Torgood?
You cannot escape us.
I'll get away. I've got to get away. I've got to make it. Got to make it. No. No. Jean! Jean! I'm positive that Earth, as we know it, is doomed. There's only one slim chance. If Major Collins were to have the radioactive rock we found in my brother's room analyzed, he would find that it is not of our planet. Perhaps then, he would realize I was telling the truth. Otherwise, it's only a matter of time. They know our weakness and our strength, and they will conquer and rule the Earth. It's only a matter of time.
The 10th planet.
Thank you everyone for listening. If you listened, we did a run through of it last night and there was a lot more laughing, and I think that
I'm impressed we held it together
for that long. Yeah. Because
it's a very goofy play.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Isaac, for doing live music.
Live music.
It was awesome. Yeah, with what machine are you using? Every single time there was an explosion, I started laughing.
Do you want to tell us about this synth?
Tell us about your synth.
It's called Microkorg, and it's got a bunch of weird sound effects on it.
Yeah.
Pretty cool thing.
Pretty awesome. Saudi, do you have anything to say about your experience reading this radio play?
I found out about this yesterday. Now I'm in this weird-ass room. Great experience. If you get a chance to go on a WMFO play, you should take it.
Yeah.
It's very fun, and Quinn will crack everyone up saying flying saucers.
Flying saucers.
Ray paws and explosions. I don't think next week, but I think the week after spring break or the week after that, probably, we're going to do The Time Machine.
Mm-hmm. That'll be a
That'll be awesome. We are paying for that one.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have the rights and everything to read it on radio.
Which we've had for all of
Which we've had for all of these plays. But this one we're paying money for. So you better tune in because it's going to be a big one. We're very excited. We have not looked at The Time Machine or read it, but I already know it's going to be worth it. We're probably going to split it into 2 weeks, I think. It's because it's a 2-hour one. So we're going to do part one and then part two.
Mm-hmm.
Which means you actually have to be listening to our show all the time.
Can't miss an episode.
No, come on. You can't miss Fridays at 4 p.m.
Mm-hmm. It's a prime time.
Prime
Coming
time.
Back from work.
Exactly. We've caught you. You're trapped in your cars and you have to listen. Anyways, thank you everyone for listening.
This has been the Willow Tree Theater on Air.
And you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. We're going to do a bit more music before 5 p.m. and then we'll hand it off to whoever's next. So, yeah. Thank you.
Downstairs. Oh. what you wanna be? Do you think that you would be? You see in the mirror, if I look long enough, my face will start to change. If I look close enough, I'll take away the pain. Oh, I don't care anymore, 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 anymore. I'll be with
Chicago. To the land of California, to my sweet home.